We appreciate you for your grace, for your mercies, and for your faithfulness. You are famous for moving the mountains. You are famous for wrought miracles, signs, and wonders. You are famous for meeting the needs of the needy. You are famous for touching lives. You are famous for turning things around. Father, O Lord God, that ministry, Lord, will be brought to bear upon every life who is here today or who is watching online in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless your name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Let's all put our hands together for the Lord. Amen. I want to thank God for this morning. About 3 Sundays ago, I started a series on the attitude for the new season. That this is our new season. But we need to bring a new set of attitude to the new season so that we can be able to get the full benefit of the season. And the first Sunday, I laid the general background. And last week, I started talking about our worldview. And I asked a question last week. What is your worldview? What's your attitude to life? What's your perspective of life? And I did tell you that a wrong attitude can destroy a good future. A wrong attitude can destroy a good destiny. And I started by looking at the story of the prodigal son and considering his attitude, how his attitude destroy his destiny or destroy what could have been his lot. So today, I will finish part 2 of that message and we'll continue later on. Remember last week, I said about a few things. I said, remember that life is not based on freebies. That if you want to go far in life, don't think that you are looking for free things, free this, free that. You want everything to come to you on the platter of gold. That's a very wrong attitude in the new season. And secondly, I told us that if you want to make progress in life is based on giving to take, or when you take, you must give. You give so that you can take, or when you take, you must give. Today, I will continue, but let's read again our text, Luke chapter 15. I will just read from verse 1 to 13. Luke chapter 15, from verse 11 to 13. And he said, a certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. You see from this passage that, like I said, that this young man wanted free things. He wanted a good life, but he wanted to come on the platter of gold. He wanted to work for it. He didn't realize that his father labored to get the things that he wanted. And secondly, he was not ready to give anything into life. Just want to take and take and take. But the third thing I want us to realize about the wrong attitude that this fellow had, that it is not good to think to begin to take advantage of others. Don't go forth in this year, in this life, always looking for where you can take advantage of others. This young man, one of the wrong attitudes he had was to take advantage. He came to realize that his father was weak and the man was liberal. 2 things about this man That's very clear. He was a very weak father, and he was a very liberal man. If the father was not weak, the guy wouldn't have had the kind of boldness to come and tell him to divide his property while he was alive. So the guy realized, he told his father, he realized he was a very weak man. And he must also realize that the man was liberal. The man was a giver. If he knew the man had a finger of a hand with super glue, do you think it would go to him? He realized that this man was liberal and he was weak. Therefore, he wanted to take advantage of that. And also, he realized that also his elder brother was quiet. So he wanted to exploit the liberalism of the father, the weakness of the father, and the quietness of the elder brother. How many of you here will allow that kind of idea? Your younger brother will come and say, "My father," you will slap him. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He realized that the elder brother was too quiet. He realized that the father was gentle. The father was weak, and he was liberal. And therefore, he wanted to take advantage of that. Let me tell you, it is not good in life to think you want to go ahead and look for where you can take advantage. And this is what I find that is common in these days. Everybody wants to take advantage of situation to the detriment of others and to their own benefit. Sometimes they go. I'm sure what the minister will remember this. Some two brothers came into this church. They came to the church not because they were ready to serve, but they thought they wanted to take advantage of the people here. They came, "We are in need, this and that. We even have no Bible." I told them, "Buy them Bible. Don't give them money to buy Bible." We bought Bible for them. Said they came back later, we don't have money to eat, this and that. Out of compassion, I said, "Just give them something. Later on, they said, "We see, Daddy, you have to come and see where we live. We are living like pigs. We need to rent another house." And I told them, "Don't give them any dime. Because these people, they are here to take advantage." And after that, I told them, "Look, this place is not a home. It's not a central bank. And this is not where you just come and draw and draw and draw." Say, "Sorry, people labor here to give to the Lord. We cannot pay. We don't have money to pay for house. This next Sunday, they didn't come here." 2 Sundays after that, people saw them passing through here while the Sunday service was going on. When people live through life thinking they always want to take advantage, do you know we want to take advantage of God? How many lepers were healed by Jesus Christ? 10. So only one came back. The other 9 people were just taking advantage. They came for healing, but after the healing, they ran away. So always people want to take advantage. Let me ask you a question. Do you have the attitude or the habit of looking where you can take advantage? And are you aware, and you should be aware also, that some want to take advantage of you? It's a very bad attitude that we must no longer use, we must no longer follow, it must drop in the new season. Trying to take advantage of others. When you see young boys, when they say they want to take out some girls and they start buying drinks for them, do you think they love them? No. They want to take advantage of them. So this young man, he was in the habit of taking advantage. So he wanted to take advantage of the weakness of the father, the liberality of the man, and also the quietness of the elder brother. My dear brother, my dear sister, I want us to check ourselves. Do we go into an institution? Do we go to a place of work? Do our business, taking advantage of others? Many people take, when they find out some people are ignorant, even market women, traders, civil servants, we take advantage of the system. We are looking for the loopholes. We are looking for the ways by which we can turn things through the shortcut to benefit ourselves. That is not a good attitude. Let us know that we must not go on taking advantage of one another. Even people want to take advantage of the church. People want to take advantage of their friends. Husband want to take advantage of the wife. Wife want to take advantage of the husband. Children want to take advantage of their parents. And there are some parents also want to take advantage of their children. They turn their children to slaves. It is not a good attitude that we must continue this season. One of the attitudes of the prodigal son was that he was in the habit of taking advantage. And I want us to know something. In the book of Psalm 50 verse 10 last week, I think we read it. I want us to read it again. You can just project for me. He said that, "For to every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills, Despite the fact that every beast in the forest belongs to God, and the cattle upon a thousand hills, do you think that you can just take advantage of that? Do you think you just come to it and get it free of charge? See, somebody was talking to me this week. This is a week now. We are talking with my wife with somebody. And he said, somebody came to him and said, "Look, pray for me. I want this. I want that." I said, and I called the guy. I said, "Look, my friend, it's not ATM machine now. Why you just give me your cash and go and draw money for me? Let us come and let us pray together. Let us see that the face of God together. Why are you coming to me? That because you know, I pray often. You know that this person prays regularly. Now say, okay, I want you to pray for me. So that I can get it, I can get that." And he told them, "So it's not like ATM machine, no. Why just ask me to go on to the bank and just withdraw money for you? You two come and join me. Let us see the face of this God together." Don't be in the attitude of saying that others must do things for you, or you must get things from others. And then number three, don't live a life of indulgence. The prodigal son wanted to live a life of indulgence. What is a life of indulgence? The life of indulgence, do what I like. People want to do what they like. This son realized that in his father's house, he couldn't do what he liked. He wanted to live a life of indulgence, so he wanted to go to a very far country, where it will not be seen, where it will not be controlled. Let me tell you certain things. When you see a man or a boy or a girl or any person wants to live a life of indulgence, four things we hear about his life. Number one, he doesn't want to live any form of control. When you ask somebody who has an attitude that he does not want to be regulated, he does not want to be controlled, he's averse to correction, that person wants to live a life of indulgence. They tell you that, "Please, as a young girl, don't dress provocatively." You say, "Look, it's the inside that's important. The body does not matter." Say, "After all, I can still speak in tongues. After all, I'm not fornicating. I'm just dressing the way I like. I feel good like this." Say, it is do's and don'ts. You don't want to be regulated. We say here that when you come, you dress decently. You say, "No. As long as I'm not sinning, if anybody wants to see that, it's own business." When you see somebody who doesn't want to be regulated, that person wants to live a life of indulgence. There are some young men, they don't want to live any other control. They don't want, see, one thing about Jesus, Jesus loves those who hear him and those who are ready to learn. When you say you are learning, that means new things that will change ways. Am I right? If there's nothing new, then you are not learning anything. So Jesus loved those who listen to him, who are hoping to learn, and who are open to corrections. Not those that once you correct them, they behave like uppers. They hop onto the next church. They help onto the next minister. This one has corrected one, said, "Look, I want to go where I can do what I like. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." I want the liberty to operate. That is a life. That's a life that this guy wanted to live. He didn't want to be regulated. He wanted to just do what he liked. Are you living the way you like? Let me ask you this question. Are you living the way you like? Do you love corrections? Are you open to rebuke? Do you take offense when they correct you? If you are taking offense when they correct you, you are living a life of indulgence. As an attitude, you must drop in the new season. And apart from not actually opening to correction, when you see a man that live a life of indulgence, he has this consumer mentality. What's a consumer mentality? He does not want anything to contribute to make anything right. He just wants good things. This guy wanted good things. He didn't know how it was created. Now, I want to ask you this question. You come to this church. What are your complaints? You have a husband, you have a wife. What are your complaints about him or her? You have children, you have parents. What are your complaints? The complaints, do you know? What can you do about those things? If certain things are needed in this church and they are not there, create them. That may be why God has brought you here. So when you have a consumer mentality, then what you want to do is just to consume and consume. The chairs are arranged before you came in. You leave. When you leave, you disorganize and you go away. You come to the church, you chew chewing gum, you throw the wrapper on the floor, you go away. Other will come and pick it. You come to the church, you use the toilet, you don't flush it. Other will come and flush it for you. You come to the church, it's bushy, you don't worry. After all, church can get money, they get Ghana to go and clear it. Consumer mentality, not a creative mentality. Always thinking about what you can feed on. So and when you finish construction in that place and there's nothing more to consume, or maybe the supply is dwindling, you go to the next place. So you must not run away from control. You must not also have a consumer mentality. And totally, that's regarding to the under being living a life of indulgence, that anybody who is living a life of indulgence will live a life of rebellion. They will not submit to any authority. They don't want to be under anybody. They judge everything by their own perception. They judge everything by their own experience. They judge everything by their own background. Because they live the life of indulgence. They don't want to be under any form of control. And yet, they want to exercise spiritual authority. Said the Bible says, all powers in heaven and earth be given to me. We are still in heavenly place with Christ, far above principalities and power. Do you know you can only exercise authority when you submit to authority? When you don't submit to authority, you lose your authority. This young man did not want to submit to any authority. He didn't want to submit to the authority of the father. He didn't want to bring himself under the authority of the elder brother. He wanted to be on his own. He wanted to be the boss. He wanted to run the show. He wanted to be in control of his life. If you really want to be a good Christian who will exercise the authority of a son of God, who has exercise the authority of a child of God, you must submit to authority. We call ourselves soldiers of Christ. Let me give you an example. You see, in the army, you have rank. Am I right? A colonel is under a general. Am I right? You are colonel, you are general, you are brigadier. If you see a colonel, a general is the head of state, and a colonel refuses to submit to the authority of the general, it is the even lance corporal they will ask to go and take him and lock him up in the guard room. The lance corporal that should start attention when he's coming will come and take the handcuff and put him in the gallows, two of us. Why? He lost the authority because he refused to submit to authority. My brother, my sister, this year, who are you submitting to? Ask yourself this question. Where are you submitting this year? And who are you submitting to? If you are not bringing yourself under any authority, then you are not ready to change your attitude. You are not ready for the new season. There must be a place, there must be an authority that you are submitted to if you are going to enjoy the benefit of the new season. You can't do what you like. Somebody must be able to call you to order. Somebody must say something and you hold it firm. Someone may be able to say sit down and you sit down. Someone may be able to tell you don't do this and you don't do it. But when you want to be on your own, when you want to behave on your own way, then you are living a life of indulgence. And again, if you are living a life of indulgence, you just want to talk about, you lack humility to even listen to others. When you see somebody who is living a life of indulgence, is very arrogant when others speak. He's a legion in his own mind. As some of our friends will say, one egedun asore o ti poju say ba aso te ege badun bo si ma se kakaka ege ti dun asore ju. He lacks the humility to listen to others. He listens to himself. His own expectation, his own experiences, it's so background that the yardstick by which he judges things. He tells others what to do. He doesn't want anybody to tell him what to do. He can pontificate. Yes. He can tell you things to do. He will tell you this is right, this is wrong, this is this, that. But tell him something, his eyes will change. Because everything is about, is consumed by self. And that was the problem of the prodigal son. Everything revolved about himself because he wanted to live a life of indulgence. And number five, before I end all this second leg or second part of this message, if you want to maximize the benefit of this season, I must tell you that you need to give respect to order, to tradition, and to culture where you find yourself. You find yourself in a system. In that system, there's a culture. In that system, there's an order. In that system, there's a tradition. Don't be disruptive of the order in a place. Don't be disruptive of the tradition in a system. Let me tell you something. Every system has a set of tradition which makes it work well, true of us. When you enter into any system, it has a set of tradition that makes it work. Now, in Nigeria here, you can just drive anyhow. When you go to UK, you just pass through the traffic light. You get home and you get a ticket. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when you get there, what do? You adjust to that system. Because here, if you do it the way you like, drive the way you like. But here, there, you don't drive just anyhow. So, but when you get into a place, you study the tradition and the culture, and as long as it's not against the counsel and the purpose of God, don't be disruptive. You know this young man, Sheripe Ayaku, even if they are talking about sharing properties, who should take first? Who should take first? So he disrespected the tradition. And again, there's this, it's not only in Yoruba land. When it's here, Baku, Aiku Ekiri, who can fear war, they say Bedu, Tiobaka Baku, Obaka Omeo Kinje. For your father that is still alive, and you are asking him to divide his property, that's again tradition. It's again culture. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It's again tradition. It's against culture. It's against order. I'm asking you, you are in the church. Do you go against the tradition of the church, of the living God? Do you go against the set order of the living God? Do you do things that disrupt the ambience, the spiritual ambience of the church? If anybody behaves anyhow and does not want to be regulated, it will disrupt the ambience of the church, true of us. What way, in what way are you, for instance, we say in this church, when message is going on, for God's sake, take down notes. Don't use your WhatsApp. Don't ping. Don't letter run. That is the order we are trying to set. And somebody will now go outside and then be moving up and down and be having discussion. That's the time you now have your friend, you have something to special to tell him where the message is going on. That when you now say you want to be talking to one another, that time you want to be sending messages in the church. When we have announced several times, we have said severally, do not do that. It's not just a disrespect to man, it's a disrespect to God. And the usher will come to you, they will tell you like this. You want to sit down, the usher will say, sit down here. I said, no, this is what I'm going to. You are disrupting the order. That's not a good attitude. Respect the order, respect the culture, respect the tradition. Be somebody that is orderly. Don't do things the way you like. There is a culture. This guy, the prodigal son, did not respect the culture. He lacked respect for order. No due regard for tradition. Some people will come to church. They will see another person passing by. Hello. They don't even greet their elderly people with respect. It's our culture. When you see an elderly person, you give courtesy. You courtesy. There's no tradition in this place that allows you to disrespect elders. You might be more knowledgeable. You might be more educated. You may have more money. But give respect to the elderly ones. Don't just be like people who do not have proper training, proper grooming. You want to grieve, just like I see Mama Dejugbe, Fajugbe now, and I see her, hello, grandma, how are you? Is that because I'm a pastor? Because I'm a man of God? I will see Mama, I will not say, hello, grandma, Ikwaleo. Or grandma will come and greet me. Each time she comes and greet me, I even feel embarrassed. She kneels down. But the moment she does that, I have to make sure I also prostrate. I'm also bend down. So the Bible does not, or the scripture, or the Christianity does not mean that we should not follow good tradition. Does not mean we should be uncultured. Should not be that we should be untutored. I want members of Cedar to be known that people give respect. I want members of Cedar to be people who follow order. I want members of Cedar to be people who do things properly. Just, church will lele lona. Kina kumwani church yena ogao. Cedar na nangbe. Let us bring new attitude on board in this new season. Let us cultivate new attitude that can make us to really please God this new season. And as I'm about to close on this second part, I will go to the third part, part three next time. I want to conclude with Luke chapter 10, verse 26 to 29. I want to hammer on what attitude can do in the life of a man, the wrong attitude. And I was saying, Luke chapter 10, verse 26 to 29 quickly. Now, I want to listen to this. This is an encounter with Jesus by someone. Therefore, said unto them, Luke chapter 10, verse 26 to 29. Now, this is an encounter between Jesus and one man. And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? So this man wanted to tempt Jesus. And he answered, said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. Now, verse 28. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Okay? Now, he went to Jesus, okay, asking, okay? And Jesus told him what to do. Now, look at verse 29. But he willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? He willing to justify himself. See, when you see a man with a very wrong attitude, he's all lessons how to justify his position. If you see a man with a wrong attitude, he won't pick us in this message I've just given and look for something to justify his own position. Jesus was trying, you came to Jesus asking questions, looking for guidance, and Jesus told you to, and the Bible said, he willing to justify himself. Please, I want to beg you, members of CEDAR, don't go into this year with the attitude that I must be right. Nobody can tell me rubbish. I'm not an idiot. I can think. I am educated. I can analyze. I know what is right. Nobody can put me right. He willing to justify himself. Don't live by self-justification. Be justified by the word of the Lord. Don't live by self-justification. Be justified by the counsel of the Lord. Let the word of God be light unto your path. If you see any man with a very wrong attitude, talk from now till thy kingdom come, you will still come back to want to justify yourself. Himself. This morning, as I pause here on the second part of this message, I want to ask some few questions. Number one, which authority are you submitting to this year? Where are you submitting? Are you going to rebel against authority of the word of the Lord this morning? If you cannot be regulated by the word of God, let me say something. Anybody who go far in life, anybody who climb higher in life, must be ready to be under some form of regulation or the other. True of us. Anybody who doesn't want to be regulated, anybody who doesn't want to be guided by some set of norms, cannot go far and cannot climb high. And anybody who always want to justify himself can never learn anything new. Can you stand on your feet this morning? And the first place to start, before I pray, is there anybody this morning, you know, you are not living right? You yourself know. Yes, I'm not saying you don't attend church, you come to church, you might even be a member of CEDAR for some time. No, all eye close. But you yourself know that you are yet to submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. You try, but you know, you will not be able to make it. But I can tell you this morning, there's a power that's available to make it to live for God. But I said today, I want to submit to the authority of Jesus Christ so that I won't be living on my own way. I want to control my life so that my destiny can be proper, can be right. You can lift up your right hand where you are, whether in the authority, God bless you, on the gallery, God bless you. I can see that higher than the gallery, and I hope the usher, God bless, I want the usher to go to gallery, please. You want to say, I'm submitting to the authority of the Lord this morning. Yes, I can see that. Just lead very well. God bless you. God bless you. The usher will come to God to meet you. God bless you. And the auditorium, there I can also see the auditorium. Lead very well. If you are lifting up, yes, I can see the auditorium. Lead very well. Lead very well, because God is here. It's not about you. It's about God. God is only interested in your own willingness and your own readiness. And since you are ready this morning, I promise you, God is ready to do a new thing. God is ready to give you strength, grace,
as you are ready to submit to the authority of the Lord, say, don't want to leave the anyhow. But you want to say, God, I submit. I still want to give 30 seconds for those who want to join these people. I can see the hand, the auditorium. I can see the hand, the gallery. If there are anybody who want to join, usher, are you with them? In the gallery, are you with them? So, what are your, please. Those who are lifting up your hands, you don't need to come for you. They'll give you a sheet of paper. Just put your hand on your head. I'm going to pray for you. Just say after me. Put your hand on your head and say after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the privilege that you are giving me to hear you this morning and to respond to your word. I come today to submit to the authority of your word, and I've come to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. I hereby submit my life at your feet. I give my life to you. Blot my sins away with the blood of Jesus. Write my name in the book of lives. Let a new life begin my life today, and let my destiny be assured in you, in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Now put your hand on your chest as I pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray for these ones who have decided to submit their lives and give their whole life unto you this morning. I pray that the power and the yoke of sin in their life be broken. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that today you will guide, you will lead, you will direct them. In the mighty name of Jesus, today shall be a new beginning. Read their names in the book of life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Lord, bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Please, those sheets, you fill it. The usher will collect back at the end of the service. Please, Pastor Mr. Woto, come here and let them see you. Pastor Mr. Woto will see you. Just come to my right hand side of the auditorium here. Pastor Mr. Woto will see you. Submit those sheep to the ushers. Praise the Lord. So, go back. So now I want to pray for everybody. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share your word and to listen to your word this morning. Lord, we pray that as we go into this year, our attitude will not destroy our destiny. In the mighty name of Jesus, our attitude will not destroy our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, any set of habits, any set of attitude which has held us captive and is inimical to our progress, Lord, today we break their hold over our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, you help us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Thank you, Lord God. Bless you forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord.